This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center and NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jumu'ah Mubarak. Inshallah, I'll be reciting a few ayahs from Surah Bani Israel, Surah Isra, ayahs 71 through 94, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم ندعو كل أناس بإمامهم فمن أوتي كتابه بيمينه فأولئك يقرؤون كتابهم ولا يظلمون فتيلا وَمَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى وَأَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا وَإِنْ كَادُوا لَيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ وَإِذًا لَاتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا ولولا أن ثبتناك لقد كدت تركن إليهم شيئا قليلا إذا لأذقناك ضعف الحياة وضعف الممات ثم لا تجد لك علينا نصيرا وإن كادوا ليستفزونك من الأرض ليخرجوك منها وإذا لا يلبثون خلافك إلا قليلا سنة من قد أرسلنا قبلك من رسلنا ولا تجد لسنتنا تحويلا أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا وقل رب أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعل لي من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا وإذا أنعمنا على الإنسان أعرض ونأى بجانبه وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ كَانَ يَئُوسًا قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكِلَتِهِ فَرَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ هُوَ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا ولئن شئنا لنذهبن بالذي أوحينا إليك ثم لا تجد لك به علينا وكيلا إلا رحمة من ربك إن فضله كان عليك كبيرا قل لئن اجتمعت الإنس والجن على أن يأتوا بمثل هذا القرآن لا يأتون بمثله ولو كان بعضهم لبعض ظهيرا ولقد صرفنا للناس في هذا القرآن من كل مثل فأبى أكثر الناس إلا كفورا وقالوا لن نؤمن لك حتى تفجر لنا من الأرض ينبوعا أو تكون لك جنة من نخيل وعنب فتفجر الأنهار خلالها تفجيرا أو تسقط السماء كما زعمت علينا كسفا أو تأتي بالله والملائكة قبيلا أو يكون لك بيت من زخرف أو ترقى في السماء ولن نؤمن لرقيك حتى تنزل علينا كتابا نقرأه قل سبحان ربي هل كنت إلا بشرا رسولا صدق الله العظيم.
Thank you so much, Tamim, for your beautiful recitation. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا والشفيع نفوسنا أبو القاسم محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآل محمد. We're approximately 10 days away from the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, the month of mercy, the month of compassion, the month of forgiveness. And naturally, in our spiritual journey, it's vital then for us to allow for ourselves to be in the best state of preparation and mindset of the days that are seemingly approaching us. The month of Ramadan, like we know, is the most important time of the year. And for every single one of us, then, these days are also the most important time of the year because we're preparing for the most important time of the year. And bigger than that, I would say that this upcoming month of Ramadan is the most important time in our lives. Like every year when the month of Ramadan appears, it has to be the most important moment, important nights and days of our existence. Because we can't think about yesterday. We have to think about the opportunity that is now. Thus, I reiterate as a reminder then to myself, then these last 10 or so days leading up to the month of Ramadan that is quickly approaching us, all of a sudden they become the most important days in our lives. And for our discussion for this afternoon, inshallah, I want to reflect a little bit in regards to the relationship between the body and soul as understood in Islamic theology and among scholars of Islamic ethics, to hopefully give us a little bit of a framework in terms of us understanding what it is that we go through as the month of Ramadan dawns upon us. It's important to understand, firstly and foremostly, like we know, the human being is not a physical entity, but rather we have a spiritual capacity within us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with the body in the same way that he has virtually married us to a soul. And this soul or this spiritual denomination or matter that we have, according to scholars of Islamic ethics, is deduced by ayat of the Quran and traditions of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu wa-salam, is the essential being of the human being. Meaning it is the I, it is the you, it is the me. When we utilize these terms, we're not talking about the physical body, but rather we're talking about the spiritual potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. If we were to, God forbid, lose a limb, for instance, you were to lose a finger or a leg or, God forbid, another limb on your body, it's not such that you have lost a part of yourself because you are still you, essentially. You are still the professional that you are in your respective field. You are still the son to your parents, the father or mother to your children, the spouse to your husband or wife. You are still all of those things. Because again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that spiritual capacity to us that doesn't die. In the words of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he states, "We have not created you to perish." But God says that we have not created you to perish, but rather you have been created for eternal life. And again, we know, as we've come accustomed to knowing over this last year especially, that life passes by really quickly. And that death is something that every one of us are going to experience eventually. But it's not that body that continues on in this ultimate journey, but rather it only is a vessel to allow for us to experience the obstacles and the challenges and the pleasures and the pains of this world, so that our soul molds and it grows and it gets cultivated to the way that God aspires and desires for us. So as we reflect on the upcoming days and nights of the holy month of Ramadan, it's vital for us to keep in mind, again, this relationship between the body and the soul. To sort of break it down a little bit further, when we talk about the month of Ramadan, that which often comes to the forefront of our minds, or that which is often most connotated with the holy month of Ramadan, is abstinence from food and from drink and from sexual relations and so on and so forth during the daylight hours, right? We know about everything that we have to do to prohibit ourselves from engaging in actions that would otherwise be normal and would otherwise be permissible. But during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we know, has created a layer, has created a barrier between us and those actions. And it's important to understand that, again, it's not because, you know, like we think many a times when we're children, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion is so difficult and challenging, and we have all of these prohibitions and we have all of these obligations. And I know we spoke about this about a month ago or so during our last Friday reflection, the one that I had led, about the importance of seeing spiritual beyond the ritual. And I don't want to go there again. But what I want to do is allow for myself and others, again, to be reminded of the fact that through the bodily struggle that we have to endure, through the abstinence of water and coffee and food in general during the holy month of Ramadan, our bodies get exhausted and they get weakened. But through that, we are led toward moments of reflection and introspection and contemplation that allow for the strength of our souls, for the strength of our spiritual capacities to be magnified and to be illuminated. When our bodies are weakened and they're abstaining from the attachments to this world, the soul has the capacity to see with a sense of clarity. A man, he comes to Ali ibn Abi Talib, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he states, "O Ali, do you worship a God that you see?" Meaning that this God that you stand and that you bow and that you prostrate in front of, that you raise your hands in supplication to, you see that God? To which he states, "And how could I worship a God that I do not see? But I do not worship him, or I do not see him with these eyes, but rather I see him through the heart and the certainty of my faith." That when we look beyond our physical senses and we see that there's so much more to live for other than feeding the body, other than accumulating wealth and power and authority and so on and so forth, again, that soul sees through a lens that has such incredible potential and capacity, but only when we push away all of the distractions of the dunya. Which is why many a time for many people during the holy month of Ramadan, they appreciate all of the small things a little bit more. We're more thankful, we're more grateful. We're more of in a state of seeking repentance and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just generally for many believers, we just feel better during the month of Ramadan, even though we're tired, even though we're exhausted. Because as much as it's important for us to cultivate our physical health, our spiritual health is that much more important. And to understand again at the same time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a body, and he is trying us and he is testing us via the body that he has given us. Meaning it's important, of course, to take care of it. It's important, of course, to cultivate. It's important to exercise, eat healthy and so on and so forth. Those are all things that go without saying. But it's about understanding, again, that we are much bigger. We are much greater. We have that much more potential than just the physical capacity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us. So I want to reflect for just a moment in regards to a famous tradition from Imam Ali ibn Hussein Zain al-Abidin, a Sajjad who is the son of Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet of God. Thus, he's the great-grandson of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the fourth Shi'i Imam as well. And he talks about the right of fasting. I thought it'd be a good opportunity for us to reflect upon that as we prepare for the holy month of Ramadan, because again, we want to prepare for fasting. We want to prepare for a recitation of the Quran. We want to prepare for prayers and dua and adhkar during the course of these days leading up to the month of Ramadan. So naturally, we have that much more sort of capacity, and we're putting that much more work in order for us to take maximum benefit during those nights and days. He states, وَأَمَّا حَقُّ الصَّوْمِ فَأَنْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ هِجَابٌ ضَرَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى لِسَانِكَ وَسَمْعِكَ وَبَسَرِكَ وَفَرَجَكَ وَبَطْنِكَ لِيَسْتُرَكَ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He states that the right of fasting upon you, meaning that in this lengthy document called Risalat al-Huquq, or the Treaties of Rights, Imam Ali ibn Hussein, the great grandson of the Messenger of God, he outlines the rights of God over us, of ourselves over us, over every single one of our body parts over us. Then he talks about the rights of specific rituals, like that of prayer, like that of charity, the right of Hajj over the human being, meaning over our souls, and our responsibilities to it. And in this sort of lengthy document, in this passage that I just read, he talks about the right of the fast. He states, وَأَمَّا حَقُّ الصَّوْمِ, and as for the right of fasting upon you, it is that you know it is a veil which God has placed over you and your tongue and your eyes and your sight and your stomach and your private parts as a mechanism to protect you from eternal punishment. What does it mean when he states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this barrier, placed this veil between you and all of these physical organs? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with all of these things, and they're not essentially bad, but they have to be channeled in a direction that takes us toward virtue. So, during the month of Ramadan, when we become a little bit more cognizant of our own deeds, of our own feelings, of our own emotions, when we get exhausted and tired from the fast, and someone says something to you and you want to respond, remember that fasting, of course, is not only the abstaining from food and drink, but it's also the veil between your tongue and uttering words that should not otherwise be uttered. And that when someone speaks poorly to you and you want to respond to them instead of responding to them, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for instance, in a famous supplication, to give us the ability that whenever our tongues want to speak any words that are ill, that we ask God for the tawfiq and for the divine support, that instead we praise Him. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when your eyes want to look at something forbidden, or they're drawn toward taking a look at something impermissible, that our cognizance and our reminder to ourselves, or the soul truly speaking to the body, reminds us that it's the month of Ramadan and we're fasting. So I need to veil my eyes from seeing that which is forbidden. So I look up at the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the oceans. And I humble myself in front of the Creator who created all of those things. But it's that veil, he continues, between your stomach and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this fast. Where when we're feeling the exhaustion and the pangs of hunger, we remember those who are less fortunate. and who don't have food and drink on a day-to-day basis. That it's the veil between the ears and the Creator. When we're listening to someone speaking poorly about someone else, when we hear gossip, when we're hearing someone backbite, we remember that it's the month of Ramadan because of how cognizant that we are. And we allow for our souls to redirect what it is that we were about to do in terms of engaging in sin or in actions that are prohibited. And instead, we turn on our headphones and we listen to ayat of the Holy Quran in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the body is what it is. It's a vessel that can either be channeled for vice or channeled for virtue. And in the month of Ramadan, our souls and that spiritual capacity that we have been created with have the capacity to direct it exactly where it is that we need to and where it is that we desire to go. فَإِن تَرَكْتَ الصَّوْمَ خَرَقْتَ سَتْرُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. And the narration continues from Ali ibn Hussein Zain al-Abidin, the great grandson of the Messenger of God. And he states, if you abandon this fast, you will have torn God's protective covering away from yourself. Meaning that if you abandon the fast, not only in terms of the abstaining of food and drink, remember, but if you abandon the fast the way that it's meant to be, and at the end of the day, this veil that God has covered you with, in terms of directing your soul toward that which is virtuous, it's as if that you ripped it away and threw it back in God's face. Metaphorically speaking, of course, meaning it's an act of disrespect. So it's about making sure that during the course of the month of Ramadan and these days leading up to it, that we recognize that our body is this vessel that again can be directed by the soul toward goodness and morality and a cultivation of that spirituality or the complete opposite. So I'll conclude with this as a reminder again to myself and to all of my dear sisters and brothers. And that is that as we close out this month of Sha'ban, and as we enter into the sacred month of Shahr Ramadan, what are the steps that we are taking, or what are the steps that we should be taking in order to make sure that our bodies are well prepared, and that at the same time, our souls are the ones directing it to virtue as opposed to vice? If you have the ability, then it's super important for us to do our best to fast, even if it means one day during the course of these last 10 or 11 nights and days before the month of Ramadan. Because you don't want to enter into something and your body is not prepared for it, and all of a sudden the spiritual benefit of the month of Ramadan takes 5 or 6 or 7 days to really kick in. You don't want that. Naturally, you want to warm up before you exercise, for instance. You want to make sure you stretch it out. Stretch out your bodies, stretch out your lungs even by getting your heart rate up, so to say. Similarly, these bodies, in order for the soul to receive maximum benefit, they need to go through that rigor. And they need to go through a little bit of that pain. So if one can fast, they should fast. And if one cannot fast, then about limiting the amount of food and drink that they're engaging in over these next several days. Number two, in terms of setting some realistic and practical goals. And I mean practical spiritual goals go a lot further than practical physical goals. Because as much as the month of Ramadan can be beneficial for one's physical health, and that's fine and that's good and that's important, remember that your bigger goals are going to be those spiritual goals. And so I don't mean that we want to lose X amount of pounds during the month of Ramadan, even though I could probably lose them. But rather, it's about what are those spiritual goals that we are setting. And I don't mean by a spiritual goal that I'm going to recite the Quran one time or two times or three times during the month of Ramadan. No, that's physical. If we're not allowing for that Quran to speak to our heart, to speak to our soul, then all it is a recitation of verses of the Quran, a recitation of a text that you don't understand. But rather, a spiritual goal or an example of it could be opening up the Quran and reflecting upon its words and allowing for it to change our perspective on life. Or an example of a spiritual goal is to remove the anger that you have, the pride that you have, the racisms or bigotries that you might have in that soul, in that heart of yours. That you want to improve your character or your interpersonal relations with your family members, with your friends. Those are spiritual goals, because what they do is they align yourself up to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. That if we pray, that we make a commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we're going to be a lot more mindful in our prayers. If we don't pray, then we make those expectations for ourselves to start to prepare to pray, not on the first of Ramadan, but again, during the course of these days, so that we're able to make or reach that height and that potential during the month of Ramadan. There's only a couple of days left. And if we are consistently mindful of the fact that we are a spiritual entity as much as we are a physical, and that we have spiritual potential in the same way that we have physical, and if we recognize that this relationship is so deep and so nuanced and so intrinsic to what it means to be a human being, and then we remember that setting the spiritual goals is going to go a lot further and a lot longer in the big picture of our existence than our physical, then I'm certain that through our prayers, through our fasting, through our recitation of the Quran, through our charity, through our efforts and diligence and focus during the holy month of Ramadan, we will be able to take benefit. And inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq. Please, as we close out this month of Sha'ban and enter into the month of Ramadan, I ask you all to please keep me and my family in your du'as and prayers, and I will do the same for you all. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow for these last days of the month of Sha'ban to be a means to cleanse these hearts and souls of ours. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the ability to be amongst those who stand in the night during the month of Ramadan and fast during the day, and dedicate ourselves to Him, even if we're unable to fast, but dedicate ourselves to Him in utter servitude and submission, so that we become amongst the best of His servants and slaves. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. We'll be concluding with a small supplication, a small du'a by our brother Timmy.
JazakAllahu khairan, Sheikh Fayaz, for that much needed talk. Inshallah, I'll conclude with a short du'a. Please feel free to join in. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تقبل صلاتنا وقيامنا اللهم تقبل ركوعنا اللهم تقبل سجودنا اللهم تقبل سجودنا ودعاءنا اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار اللهم أجرنا من النار يا عزيز يا غفار تقبل دعاءنا ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك ربي ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا ربي ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا ربي ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغارا اللهم بارك لنا في أوقاتنا اللهم بلغنا رمضان ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قوة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا مسلمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم.
If you like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.